Well, it's a joy again to be, as I mentioned already, it's a joy to be back in church. It's a joy to be here this morning and looking forward to it. I want to preach for a little while about people, because people is where the Lord puts the emphasis. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as you find your place there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I did hear the story about this rich man. Boy, he had it all. He had a big party. He had all kinds of people everywhere, and he had everything he wanted. Well, he had this big old pool, kind of a lake type thing. It had sharks and alligators, salt water. He'd had his pool, and he had every piranhas in there. And he had got a big kick. He thought, well, if anybody swims from one side to the other side, I'm going to give them whatever of my possessions they want. He had cars and helicopters and boats and all. He had it all. Money was no object. He said, anybody who swims from one side to the other, I'll give them whatever. They can just have it. It's theirs, free and clear. Nobody did anything. All of a sudden, he heard kaspunk. Plop, somebody came in the water, and boy, this old boy, he was just swimming, he was just going 90 to nothing, he was just thrashing around out there, and sure enough, he was going a little bit in that direction, and he made it ahead of the sharks, ahead of the alligators, all that stuff was in there, and boy, oh boy, he made it over there, and he got to the other side, and that rich fella came up and said, man, I can't believe it. He said, what do you want, man? He said, what can I get you? What do you want? Anything you want. He said, you did it. I can't believe it. He said, I'm just astounded. He said, what in the world do you want? What in the world do you want? And I'll get it. He said, well, first thing I want is, I want to know who pushed me in on the other side of this. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and we're seeing here, I want to preach about people. And verse 17 says this, but we brethren, isn't brethren a nice word? And there's a song that says, you notice we say brethren and sister around here, and brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. I'm titling the sermon, People, because at each point you'll see that the part that makes the apostle happy, if you will, I don't know if that's the right word, but that thrills him is the anticipation about the reunion that he's going to have with these people. Addresses are a strange thing. 169 Victory Lane, that's where I live. I love it. We live just across the interstate over there. It's a wonderful place. I love it. 197 Suncrest Street, that's this place right here. I spend a lot of my life between here and there. I love this place. But the address doesn't do all of its justice, because I used to love 192 Hawthorne Boulevard, Delaware, Ohio. That was when I went to pastor a church up that way, and the Lord used us to help stabilize some things in a church before we came here. 5823 Montague Avenue, Rockville, Tennessee. That's where we lived, and I served the Lord there. And we had a wonderful home there, and God gave us a beautiful time. But I'm realizing about all those addresses that those addresses that I mentioned first, I don't care near as much about them anymore. I hope the people in them are doing well. I hope they're having a good day. I hope they're serving the Lord. I don't know any of them. But it wasn't the addresses. It was the people that abode in those places. And I hope that you understand today that our stuff isn't where it's at. The Apostle Paul, as he's looking, or as God's using him, he's the powerful man of God. As he's used of God to pen parts of this, we see that he's not worried about the things that we're worried about. Sometimes we are. He's worried instead about people. We see in verse number 17, he says, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. He says, my body's not there, but my heart is. He says, I'm not around, but I'm sure thinking about you. And I want to think about how he hated to leave that little part of the world, because there were some people he dearly loved. I want to do an experiment this morning. I don't want you to answer out loud, but I just want you to think about this. How many of you have been out of town before? Or in town, but you just met a group of people, and you met somebody who, even before you asked them, you didn't have to ask them, you didn't have to inquire about them, you just knew that they were, don't raise your hand, but you just knew that they were a Christian brother or Christian sister. The Lord just, I mean, that nobody goes to heaven just because you think they are. I understand all that. But I'm talking about inside. You just say, now there's something about this girl, this lady, this woman, this man, this boy, whoever it is. There's something about him or her. You just knew they were Christian. Well, how about this? How about you maybe have gone to a group or gone somewhere out of town, rather, and you met a group of people. Maybe it was for a work trip. Maybe it was thinking back way for a while when you went to camp for a while, or you did this, you did that. But you got to spend several days with somebody, and you hadn't met them before, but before you left, you felt like you were leaving family. You hated to leave them. People are a wonderful thing. Now, not all of us. Sometimes we get into some bad ways, but Paul hated to leave. He said he had this group in his heart. Now, think about that third word of the verse, brethren. He was counting them as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. He was looking at them in their relationship with Christ. Can I tell you that the most important thing that you'll ever do is getting into that brother or sister relationship, that brother or sister position, and that is by being saved or by being born again. You understand that if a person's truly going to love somebody, truly going to have a great reciprocal relationship, they've got to be saved, because that's how we know to love, when we know the Lord. And the Apostle Paul brings it down to them and says, brethren, I had some great thoughts about you. I want to get a couple of points out of these verses here. I want you to see verse number 17. First of all, we see the longing to see them. Brethren, they're in God's family. He says, you didn't leave me in my heart. His body left, but his heart stayed. He says, I long, look at the last part of the verse, to see your face with great desire. Do you have people like that? That you just love to get to see them again? I've got a list of names here, but I won't call them out. Some of them, their spouses are right here, and it's not embarrassing, but there's people that would love to be here in this building with you today. Love to be sitting in one of these pews and singing and hear that choir sing that they did such an awesome job on. They would love to be here. They would love. Why? Because their heart is here. I got a sweet call this week from somebody that's here today again, but she wanted to know the address of somebody. She said, I've got to send them a card. I've got to reach out to them because they're going through it right now, that person that they were asking me about. And they said, I want to get the address so I can send them. Their heart was touched by someone's infirmities. And they wanted to get that word out to them. And I think about this, when our body can't go somewhere, our thoughts can, our prayers can, and our cards can, our texts can, and all this. I'm saying here, the apostle has got this longing to see those folks that he loved. I got a video recently of one of our shut-ins. And the daughter, who also goes here, sent me the video of the shut-in. And the shut-in was watching our service on YouTube. And she was just singing along there with the hymn that we were singing that day. Just singing along, not in a powerful voice. She didn't have a powerful voice, but just a singing along. And I thought, wow, so precious. It brought tears to my eyes, because here's somebody that can't be but wants to be. Here's somebody that would love to join together with the family of God, the church, but they can't. And I think about this as the Apostle Paul, he says, I long to see you. Oh, am I looking for you? I see that. And that's why I think about people. But I want you to look on in verse number 18, not only the longing, but now the hindering. The hindering in verse number 18, he says, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, he's just making sure they understood. He was meaning it from his heart. Once and again, but Satan hindered me. He said, I'd have been back, but the devil got me. The devil got in the way. And I think that all of us need to realize in this room today, and while you're watching, that we need to realize that we have got a spiritual battle going on in our lives. There's times when you're really under it. You don't understand why you're having such trouble keeping your thoughts together. You don't have any understanding of why you and your wife or husband just can't get along. You don't have any understanding. Can I just tell you that there's a real live devil? He's fighting against you every time. And if you're in a marriage with somebody, the Bible says that marriage pictures Christ in the church. It's an image. It's a picture. It's an illustration of Jesus and his church. No wonder the world, the flesh, and the devil are attacking those marriages. You're somehow in some newscast and some broadcast considered a weirdo if you have a mom and a dad and some children. That somehow the family ought to be a little bit more diversified than that. No wonder Satan is attacking our family, because that's the first institution that God put on this earth as he gave Adam and Eve and then gave some children along the way. No wonder Satan's fighting. But here we see the hindrance by Satan, and that God, or Paul was impressed with the fact that I'm getting some fight from the other side. Right now our service are being live streamed and people are watching. Believe me, the folks up in that booth and then the ones downstairs in the live stream room, they work feverishly trying to get these services to go out to everybody on the internet. I believe that we could do infomercials and sell knives, kitchen aids, or kitchen appliances, blankets, coins, or anything else, and not have near the trouble getting that broadcast out that we do when we try to get the gospel message out. You say, Pastor, you're weird. I may be weird, and you're probably right, but I'm still correct. We could be selling ginseng knives or whatever those ones, whatever. We could be selling can openers. We could be selling anything. And I think that broadcast would just go out smooth as butter. But Satan knows, I believe, how much the Word of God is needed to people. And so I'm thinking, as the Apostle Paul here is putting the blame on the right entity, that today God brought us to show us that sometimes we're not putting the blame on the right entity. You thought it was your adult children who are being real obstacles in your family unit. You thought it was your husband that's just being a real hard agent to get along with. You thought, and we thought, and we figured, but let me take you what the Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My friend, we've identified the wrong enemy. We thought it was our wife that was causing a problem, but it's Satan. We thought it was our husband, but it wasn't, it was Satan. We've been fighting with that human flesh that's in front of us. You're like that one fellow that said, man, I thought my clothes are all shrinking and they're not fitting anymore. I thought it was the dryer, but after that, I found it was the refrigerator. We're identifying the wrong enemy. Not your dryer making those clothes fit tight. It's that refrigerator. And it's not that family member either. It's the devil. You remember that Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Is he talking to him or is he talking about the devil that's using him? You say, well, he was a Christian. Yes, he was. But Satan still got in him a little bit, got using him a little bit. And I'm just saying this morning that we see the hindrance of Satan in our Christian lives and what in our lives, and what he is doing is he's dividing people. Here he literally divides them, because Paul says, I would have been there once and again, but Satan hindered us. He kept messing plans up. He kept putting them awry. Man told a story about getting on bus 22 in Chicago, CTA bus lines. There were office workers, he said. There were shoppers. There were students. It was a normal day on the bus. But he said three people, two men and one lady, got on at Clark and Webster bus stop. And when these two men and one woman got up on the bus, the bus driver, who was a seasoned veteran, he'd been doing it for a long time, he picked up his intercom and he said, watch your valuables. We have pickpockets on board. He knew who these three were. And so immediately ladies started grabbing their purse and men start grabbing their wallet and just keeping tight, close on watch on everything. And those people, of course, the three that got on, they were hated the statement, but they really didn't miss a stride. They came in the front door of the bus and they just walked past everybody. And that was one of those buses with the middle doors. They just walked off and went off. Why? Because their hunting ground was safer now. And that veteran bus driver, he was right. That's what they were on there for. He'd seen him before, and he wanted to warn everybody. Don't you wish that before you went and got mad at something going on in your family, you knew that Satan was coming at you? He blindsides us a lot of times. I often say that when I get into a tight situation, I use my mouth before when I should have used my ears and I should have just listened but not talked. I often say that I'll come up with the right answer, but I usually come up with it about 3 minutes too late. You ever done that? Open mouth, insert foot. And you said something maybe hateful or not, at least not sympathetic or not, just you should have done differently. I wish that I had a bus driver saying, be careful. Satan's coming after your attitude. We got pickpockets on board. But in your relationships, in my relationships, if we're not careful, we'll let Satan have his way. And we'll be half the time or more mad, fussing, fuming, ugly, talking bad to people, about people, in front of them, behind them, wherever. And I see the hindrances of Satan here. But I want you to see in verse number 19 and 20, not only do we see the longing that he had, but the hindrances that Satan gave. I want to just spend a few moments here, and I want to give the revelation of the real trophies. Trophies, whatever you want to call them, I want to give the revelation here of the real trophies. He said, for what is our hope or joy or crown or of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? God's using the apostle to say there's coming a day when God, Jesus Christ, is going to come back. He says, if I don't see you, I'm going to look forward to seeing you on that day. Old preacher, he used to say this when he'd leave a brother or leave a revival, he'd leave a group of Christians, he'd leave a church. He'd say, I will see you either here, there, or in the air. What he was saying was, if I don't see you again on this side, I'll certainly see you when the Lord calls us. And here Paul is giving the revelation of the real trophies. He's saying to us, what's important? It's not his preaching meetings, although he had many. It's not the salaries that people have. It's not the stuff. He said, but instead it was souls. One person put it like this, you and I ought to love people, use things, never reverse. Love people, use things, never reverse. We've all been used. But we ought to love people and use things and never reverse. I meet people on a regular basis, as did some of the fair workers this week. They said, oh yeah, I used to come to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I rode the bus. I did this. Daniel headed up much of the fair ministry that our booth and then the Amazing Grace booth. But I used to ride. And I meet people all the time that are involved in this church or that church, somewhere else, that got their spiritual start right here. Maybe over that other building, this building, somewhere. And we may not be able to keep track of everybody. Well, we can't. But it'd be a wonderful reunion one of these days. And one of the greatest aspects of this old church is that there have been people all the way down through these years that got introduced to Jesus Christ. Can we find them all? No. They're off wherever, around the world for that matter, but off serving this church, they're somewhere here, there, yonder, wherever. But we can realize the real trophies as the Apostle Paul did, and that was the people, not the prestige. I was talking to my brother recently, and we were talking about Amy and I doing something, and I wasn't going to do it, and Dan, my brother, said, well, you ought to give it the 100-year test. I said, what's that? And he said, well, will it matter in 100 years? And I can tell you something that'll matter in 100 years. That is the souls of men, women, boys, girls, your family will matter. That's why I'm excited about our Faith Promise missions. We're not doing this just to have something else on the calendar. We're not doing it just to keep up our missions program. I really believe in this. That's why I'm excited about this, because every missionary that comes through these doors or puts their letter up down the hall that we get to vote to send money for this, that, or the other, every one of them are out somewhere around this globe preaching and teaching and giving the gospel and having clinics and orphanages and getting the gospel out and seeing people saved that we'll never meet yet. But I'm looking forward to when heaven comes, as he said at the verse number 19, when the Lord returns, I'm looking forward to meeting those people Not for a prideful way. We won't have pride at that point. But looking forward to meeting them and say, thank you for giving so that I could hear, so that a missionary could go. How should they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And I'm looking forward to meeting people in heaven that say, yeah, that church, you all sent the missionary. Because then they'll be able, God will put all the pieces together for them then. Now I want you to think about that and look back at verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is it? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? People labored at the fair this week, just trying to get the gospel out. People from all around this region. There's some folks around at the fair that they all can't be from here. They're from wherever. Many of them listened to the gospel and they've gone on back to their homes. But if they got saved, they got trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, then we can plug them into that verse to say, are not even ye at the in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The revelation of the real trophies is the people. And this morning, I want to challenge everybody, for all of us to start valuing what God values. Now, I understand we have to live. We have to have our vehicles. We have to have all this. There's certainly nothing wrong. God giveth us richly all these things to enjoy. I'm for it. But as I mentioned already in the sermon, we ought to love people and use things. Don't love things and use people. I believe if God gives you $1 million this year in a business that just explodes and goes forward, well, I'm going to say thank God for that and thank God for what he's done and praise his name. Amen. But even if he does do that in several business deals that you have, I still challenge everybody. I don't care if you have that $1 million or if you're scraping around to get the light bill. Everything you got, you ought to hold it with open hands. Lord, it's all yours. Because everything we got here at this church is God's. And we don't have a trouble with that because, okay, no, we know it's his. But not only this house, that's not only true about this house. That's true over Victory Lane too. Everything we got over there is his as well. Everything's at your house, same way. So let's start, not start, I believe you already are. Let's continue to value the real value, and that is people. If you know folks that aren't saved, my friend, please bombard heaven on their behalf. Pray that they would be saved. If you've got loved ones that are away from the Lord, don't stop praying for them. Pray that God would continue to convict them and draw them to their out of their backslidden state and get them right with him. And if we've got people that are you're having good fellowship with, I challenge you just to relish that even more and just enjoy. It's like this. There are several people that are in this room getting married before too long. And what do we tell each one? Doesn't matter what you have. Don't get enamored with the stuff. You can live on love, right? Hard to pay for McDonald's with love, but you can live on it, they say. But what do we tell them? You grab that person and you love each other. I don't ever in my counseling tell them to, hey, make sure you keep good, tight hold on all of this money because that's what really matters. Tell them, make sure that you put Christ first and you grab each other and at that marriage altar and say, it's you and me, babe. Let's go forward. So it's all about people. And in verse number 17, even when things are cut short like they were for the Apostle Paul, he said, I had to leave. He was run out of Thessalonica, actually. Sometimes we don't get to see him as much as we want. But someday we'll rejoice because we'll see him at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my admonition as we head out today is this. People. People have a need. If they're unsaved, they need to be saved. That's where we come in. We get to pray for them, give them the gospel, show them their need. If you're here today, you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure that you're a believer in Christ, well, you believe in Him, yes, you know about Him, but you've not believed on Him as the only Son of God, the only Savior, you put your faith in Him, then I challenge you to do that today. But people need the Savior. And then can I give you this, that people, after they're saved, they need some fellowship. We think we're the Lone Ranger sometime. I don't need anything. Lone Ranger had Tonto. We all need somebody. And I challenge you to be somebody's somebody that you can encourage today. I wonder how many people this week I missed an opportunity to just tell them, I'm praying for you. Encourage them along the way. But I want you to be on a trek with me this week. I want you to be looking for people who you can encourage, who you can brighten their day. Some old preacher used to end his radio broadcast by saying this, be nice to everybody, because everybody's having a hard time. And I don't know when that was truer than it is right now in 2023. You say, Pastor, I don't have to be nice to them. It doesn't benefit me any. That's the ones we need to be nice to the most. I don't have to be, I won't ever see them again. Well, you can brighten up their day for whoever does see them. People. Aren't they a wonderful thing? You say, not always. I know. But God still commands us to love them and be right with them. And the Apostle Paul found himself in this passage. He says, oh, I'd love to have been with you more. That old devil, he hindered me again and again. One of these days, he ain't going to be an issue. And one of these days, you know, like 2 years ago, my mom went to heaven. Just this year, my wife's mom went to heaven. One of these days, I'm going to do a funeral here in 2 hours, a couple hours for her family. One of these days, I'm done with funerals. Don't even come up to me in heaven and say, hey, you been doing any funerals? I'll say, I ain't been doing them. I ain't going to. We won't need them up there. One day, the people that we get to be around, it'll be forever. We won't be floating on clouds and popping grapes and doing that like sometimes they illustrate. We'll be having dominion over the new heaven, new earth. I don't know how God's got it all worked out. I know some of it, but it'll be a wonderful time. And then we'll be around those people. But I challenge you to start encouraging those people even this week. Would you do that with me? Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask you to use this message somehow. It's somehow in the lives of people. And Lord, some of us are just too closed off. We need to get back to ministering to and helping and encouraging and lifting people. Please, dear Lord, I pray that you would help us. As we wait just a moment, there's a lot of that get settled here. Is God speaking to your heart? Are there some folks that you need to pay more attention to? Their walk with the Lord? People. The Apostle Paul loved this group of people in Thessalonica. And may we be guilty, so to speak, of the same thing, loving people for the glory of God. If you're able to, would you stand together as our instrumentalists begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here today, and when I mentioned about salvation, maybe that just struck a little part in your heart. You say, I don't know if I have that. My friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, shed his precious blood so that you and I could go to heaven. He came for people. He didn't come to start a religion. He didn't come to start all these do-good organizations that we enjoy, hospitals and helps and ministries. He didn't come for that. He came for people. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel's right down here in the front of the pulpit I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. And then maybe you're here and you've been devaluing what God values, and that's people. Maybe you've gotten to just kind of be a hermit. Don't need people. People don't need me. My friend, I challenge you. God didn't leave you here to all close up into yourself. You're supposed to be influencing people. As she plays one more verse, if God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come here if you want, or make a decision right there in your seat. Maybe God's brought a real person to your mind. You can see that image. Well, I challenge you to make a vow to the Lord. Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity this week, I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to strengthen them. Maybe there's somebody else that you're thinking about and they're not saved, as far as you know. Lord, give me a chance. Can't do anything else, I'll send them that gospel track. I'll call them. I'll do whatever. I'll pray for them. People. Love people. Use things. Never reverse. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy every Sunday morning to come to this place, and thank you for being here. And what a wonderful, wonderful privilege. I challenge you to take that mission card, stick it somewhere in your Bible. I want everybody, you say, Pastor, I don't have much. I'm not talking about how much you give. I don't care about that part. But I'd love for everybody to be involved in missions. I'm not a member. That's all right. You say, I only get paid once a month. That's all right. I challenge you, put that in there. Be praying over the next couple of weeks what God would have you do. Or you can put in any offering plate if you want between now and then. But I would love for everybody to be a part of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to get our money to where it needs to go, laying ourselves up treasures in heaven. Thanks to the Lord for that opportunity. Speaking of being able to do things for people, this Saturday at 9:30, we have an outreach breakfast over in the Family Life Center. 9:30, we have a short breakfast. It'll be a good breakfast, but you can come about 9:30 to 10. And here's what we do. Brother Daniel will have visits lined out. Some folks will go visit a bus route. Some will visit a Sunday school class. But others will just take a little area here and say, well, they'll take gospel tracts out, and they'll invite door to door. Others will be looking for follow-up and different things. You don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. He'll pair you up with somebody who knows what they're doing. He'll take care of all that. But 9:30, we'll have a great breakfast in the Family Life Center. And then just shortly before 10 or so we'll about 10-ish, then he'll have a word, quick word, and send us out. So that's this Saturday coming. I invite everybody to be there. We'll have a good time together. And what we're doing is just getting the word out. So a word of God out. So that's happening. Thank you again for being here. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come dismiss us in prayer. Amy and I are going to be back in the lobby. Ladies, if you have any questions about the ladies' events coming up, you can see Amy out there. And if there's something else that we can do for you, please don't hesitate to stop by.
Together to hear your word preached, to sing songs about you, and Lord, just to have our minds and hearts directed to you. Lord, I pray you take this message and the time we've spent, and Lord, use it in our lives. Help us to make a difference in the lives of others. Help us to care for the people around us. And Lord, we thank you so much for the relationships that are developed in church. Lord, I pray as people leave today, they'd be able to talk to somebody and share some time with people that they just get to see, maybe even once a week. But Lord, they'll just make a big difference in their lives. Bless the day, we pray. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.